You're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Is Here Before You Die. This episode, we'll be talking about Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Ragged Glory. In the room, I have Rob.
It's a me.
And on the line, I have Ben.
Present.
And Kyle.
I feel like you haven't really heard the song Fucking Up until you've heard Bush covering it at 1999's Woodstock.
Ragged Glory is the 18th studio album by Canadian-American singer-songwriter Neil Young and his sixth album with the band Crazy Horse. It was released by Reprise Records on September 9th, 1990. The producer was Neil Young and David Briggs, and the genre is garage rock and grunge. I'm going to read from AllMusic Review, William Ruhlman. Having reestablished his reputation with the musically varied, lyrically enraged freedom, Neil Young returned to being the lead guitarist of Crazy Horse for the musical, homogenous, lyrically hopeful Ragged Glory. The album's dominant sound was made by Young's noisy guitar, which bordered on sometimes slipped over into distortion, while Crazy Horse kept up the song's bright tempos. Despite the volume, the tunes were catchy with strong melodies and good choruses, and they were given over to love, humor, and warm reminiscence. They were also platforms for often extended guitar excursions. Love to Burn and Love and Only Love ran over 10 minutes each, and the album as a whole lasted nearly 63 minutes with only 10 songs. Much about the record had a retrospective feel. The first two tracks, Country Home and White Line, were newly recorded versions of songs Young had played with Crazy Horse but never released in the 70s. Mansion on the Hill, the album's most accessible track, celebrated a place where psychedelic music fills the air and peace and love still live there. There is a cover of Premier's garage rock oldie Farmer John and Days That Used to Be. In addition to its backward looking theme, borrowed the melody from Bob Dylan's My Back Pages. While Mother Earth Natural Anthem was the folk standard, The Water Is Wide with new environmentally aware lyrics. Young was not generally known as an artist who evoked the past this much, but if he could extend his creative rebirth with music this exhilarating, no one was likely to complain. All right, what do we think of Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Ragged Glory?
I love it.
I have been sleeping on this record as a Neil Young fan. Man.
It's a perfect fall record,
Oh, dude, this is awesome.
We went to a pumpkin patch this Saturday, and this album was playing, and it was wonderful.
Hell yeah.
We just, just driving, drinking coffee, going to a pumpkin patch.
Leaves crunching underfoot. Amazing.
Yeah.
Les Pauls crunching through jagged solos.
Yeah, it was great. There were times, though, those two songs that I mentioned in the write-up, Love to Burn, Love and Only Love, I kept like listening to him and be like, wait, did this track restart? Did I accidentally bump it and it skipped back to the beginning? Because they're so long that you're like,
oh, you mean one third of the album?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I can't, this can't possibly be this long of a song, can it? And then I was like, no.
I didn't even notice they were long until I was looking at the track times and I was like, oh, damn. Those songs were pretty long. Yeah. I was just enjoying it so much that I didn't, I didn't even
His guitar is just hypnotic.
It is. Sure. I could listen to, you know how you say like people say like, oh man, I could listen to John Fogerty sing The Phone Book. You know, like, I mean, his voice has such a great timbre to it. Doesn't matter what he's doing. I could listen to Neil Young's guitar just play like guitar lesson scales. You know, like just something like boring. It is just that saturated, crunchy ass. Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. It was a real return to form for this. I was also very impressed. Now, the album's called Neil Young and Crazy Horse, but Neil Young himself says that's not how it is. He says, sometimes I play with Crazy Horse and sometimes I don't play with sometimes they're their own band.
Crazy Horse just releases albums without Neil Young.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And he just considers him a part of the band when he's playing with them. They had to put it on the cover, but he considers himself part of the band.
I feel like that's a little nitpicky, though. When he's playing with Crazy Horse, he's writing the songs, he's playing lead guitar, and he's singing the lead. It's Neil Young and Crazy Horse, kind of like it's Bob Dylan and the band.
Yeah, that's what Neil says.
It is interesting that, so this album came out in 1990. Far from the last Crazy Horse record. I don't even know if we've yet heard the last Crazy Horse record. They are still doing shit. But Billy Talbot, the bass player, and Ralph Molina, the drummer, have been members of Crazy Horse longer than Neil Young's been a member of Crazy Horse. Those two dudes have been in this band slugging along since 1962.
Jeez.
Right? That's awesome. I love it.
Holy
Just
cow.
Playing their garage rock.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we were talking about how this, you know, a lot of people said it harkened back to the first Neil Young Crazy Horse album that we talked about.
Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, right?
Yep. And how that album literally came out like the 30 years before this one. He is at this time already had a long enough career that he can reminisce about a previous album.
The cool thing that's happening here is the write-up that you read was correct. He's evoking the past. He's evoking past Neil Young records, but those past Neil Young records that he's revoking were records that prophesized grunge. So now that grunge is, it's 1990, it's becoming a flavor of the week. Neil Young and Crazy Horse are like, shit, we've been doing this for 30 years. Let's show them how it's done, you know?
Yeah, and it's really interesting that it's such a return to form for Neil, because this whole decade, you know, you guys probably read about when he got sued by Geffen, right?
For not sounding like Neil Young?
Yeah. Like, I have that Trans record. That Trans record's wild.
You guys bring up that Trans record.
I fucking love that Trans record.
I like the Trans record.
Yeah, it's good. But I have... when he got back with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, like in 1988, it's one of the worst albums I've ever heard in my life. But it's like comically bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever checked out anything from it. It is crazy.
80s CSNY? I can't say I have.
It's crazy how bad it is. So, I mean, just to hear
this. Were there radio songs on it?
No, dude. Nothing you'd heard.
Was Neil Young one of the tragedies that had to pay off tax debt with the use of Taco Bell commercials, or is that Willie Nelson?
No, that was not Neil Young.
Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Little Richard.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Neil Young does advertisements.
He does not.
Neither did Willie until he had to.
I mean, just recently, you know. He's pulled stuff from streaming services, and
this is not on
Spotify.
It's cool. I like to see artists like that have a real particular sense about how you should be listening to their albums, right?
I've got no problem accumulating hard copy Neil Young records.
Right.
Okay. No problem at all.
To follow that up, did we look to see if any Crazy Horse albums are still on Spotify? And if they are, is Neil Young actually just guest spotting in this, or did he pull it himself?
Yeah, good question.
They should have like four. If it's just Neil Young and not Crazy Horse, they should have like four or five albums still on Spotify.
Well, Neil Young was, he tried to launch like a new music format player like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
that actually streamed in like audiophile fidelity, and
and people
like, nah, I like MP4s, fuck you.
Yeah,
well, he was charging like $30 a record for it too.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
It's hard to find the balance there.
Yeah, well, how about this? It can't be more expensive than going out and buying a brand new cellophane wrapped hard copy. Like, a digital file cannot cost more than that. I like this record a lot. Mindless drifter. I was reading up this week. How does Neil Young's guitar tone sound like Neil Young's guitar tone? And it sounds like he's been using pretty much the same gear since he found his tone in like 68. Most of that is, you know, a heavily modified 50s Les Paul, formerly a gold top that someone repainted black before he acquired it. That's just known as Old Black. It's got like a Bigsby tremolo system on it. And I think it's got a Firebird pickup in the bridge pickup. Then he's going through, he's got like a Fender 57 Deluxe that is the majority of that crunchy sound that you hear. He's got that going to a few other cabinets, but instead of using like pedals and stuff, so he's got several different knob configurations on his old 57 Deluxe that are the Neil Young sounds. And he had someone build this device called what he calls like a whizzer, and it's a mechanical box that sits on top of his amp and mechanically touches the knobs, and he's got presets that he can click with a foot switch, and it'll turn the knobs to where he wants it. So like in the same song, he can have like multiple different tones from his, just straight out from his amp.
Did
Jim Henson design that? Yes.
That is the move of a model train enthusiast.
It very much is. But I love it. And like all of that now 65-year-old gear, it's still what he plays. And he notoriously does not, I'm sure he changes his strings, but he doesn't change anything about that classic but janky setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you find a tone and you just stick with it.
Tell me.
I'm all right, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is great. The guitar tone on this and the lead tones are great. It's got that overdrive that's overdrive. It almost breaks up the actual crunch sound. It's just so crunchy.
Crunchy to the point of failing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You can get some of that with like Big Muffs or some of those other like fuzz pedals that you can just have a big scale of turning up the fuzz.
Or you just have someone build you a whizzer.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys see the last track was recorded at the Hoosier Dome?
I didn't know if that was actually live or if it was like canned. But
yeah,
I think it was probably like before or after a show or something. But yeah, that huge sound. I was like, what is that? The Hoosier Dome.
That's awesome. Honestly, this is a 10-track album. I've got 9 stars on it. The only one that I didn't get a star in, and I don't dislike it, is the Premier's cover, Farmer John. And I know that song. I think it's a fine song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Neil Young and Crazy Horse elevated the source material.
I agree with that. They did a really just dirty, sloppy, intentionally kind of messed up, sloppy version. And I think that's fun. They probably had a really good time doing it. It just kind of sticks. You're right. It sticks out a little bit. You're kind of mellow grooving to all the shredding, like fuzzed out stuff. And then here comes like this dirty,
frat stomper.
Yeah. It's like
I would call that one. It's like frat rock. Like
you classic, say dad rock?
No, like classic, like 1960s Animal House frat rock.
It's a little dad rock too.
It's like a dirge.
This isn't the first album that we've heard with this particular rhythm guitar player, but this album does feature Pancho's Sampedio, who replaced Danny Whitten in 1975 after Danny Whitten OD'd. Pancho is not the best technical guitar player, which actually frustrated the rhythm section of Crazy Horse, which I was like, man, you have to really be lacking technically to frustrate the rhythm section of Crazy Horse. apparently, and Pancho would admit, Neil Young kept on having to write simpler songs so Pancho could play them. But what Pancho's bringing to the table is this vibe, kind of like, who's the Rusty from...
Rusty Crenshaw?
Yeah, Rusty Kershaw from... apparently Pancho just brings this vibe to the band, and people are like, we can't put our finger on what it is that Pancho brings, but you can't have Crazy Horse without him. And part of it is Pancho really likes to see Neil Young rocking out and having fun, and he likes to see pretty girls dancing in the crowd. So he's kind of like, if Neil Young has like a folk angel on his shoulder and a rock angel on his shoulder, Pancho is the guy that's always pushing him just to, hey, make this one a rocker. And I think it's cool. Like that's kind of his role in the band. And he's still in Crazy Horse.
I think we all know a Pancho.
Yeah, I think we all know a Pancho.
Yeah, definitely.
He actually has a co-writing credit on Keep on Rockin' in the Free World, because they were, Neil Young and Crazy Horse in like 87 or 88 were supposed to play some shows in Russia and they got canceled. And apparently Pancho's like, guess we'll have to keep on rocking in the free world. And Neil Young had this like his like Dewey Cox moment. He's like, walk hard. I think I will walk hard. So he gets a writing credit on Rockin' in the Free World.
Amazing.
And I say, good on him. Good on him.
So from before, we're kind of talking about, everyone was kind of like, oh, Neil Young's back. He told Vox, I don't have to come back. I've never been gone. They write stuff like, oh, this year Neil Young's okay again. I don't need them to tell me if I'm okay or not. As far as I'm concerned, I've always been okay.
I love that guy so much.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He is the realest of the real.
Obviously, as we talked, you know, fully captured the renaissance of the initial formation, but also burgeoning grunge scene, and gained mutual admiration from in-studio and live collaborators like Pearl Jam and Meatball, as well as Kurt Cobain and his elegy for Kurt Cobain with Sleeps with Angels, which is very cool.
That album's incredible.
Yeah.
This album was recorded at Neil Young's Broken Arrow Ranch. Crazy Horse would play two sets of songs a day for several weeks, with apparently there was no repeats in the set. And then they just chose the best takes that made it on the album. Neil Young said that it took all the analysis out of the game, just allowing the band not to have to think about it, which is awesome. I think that's a cool way to make a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds live a bit. It
sounds like a garage.
Yeah, sounds like a barn or a garage.
Yeah.
Which is... I don't know if it's like neither a compliment nor an insult. It just is what it is for this record.
I'd say it's a compliment.
I like the sound.
Me too.
With all the other productions around this time, it could have sounded like, you know,
yeah,
tap dancing on plastic, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. It just feels very immediate. But this could have been live. If you told me this album was live, I'd probably be like, okay.
Well, yeah, if like, it was like just binaural recorded
live,
yeah,
I'm sure. Like, they're definitely not punching in,
right?
You know, they're playing together as a band all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm wondering even if they recorded some of the vocals live.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
these cranky old timers.
why do we have to re-record the vocals? We're already a band. We've been doing this for 30 years. So obviously
the cranky old timer is like 2 years older than me.
No, man.
But in 1990. Yeah.
Yeah. 1990. This won the Village Voice Album of the Year.
And rightly so.
But Kreisgau, was Kreisgau into it?
That's a big year, though.
Hell yeah. Can I tell you a little story?
Yes, please.
It's 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. Will you turn that thing down? All I hear down here all night is thump, 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 thump. Some fucking tempo, some fucking beat on permanent repeat. You don't even have to walk over to the amplifier to start it up again. Just go lump it down and in that stupid hippie pogo. Of course I love him too. I know the guitar is great. So what? This isn't the Beacon, goddammit. It's my apartment. A minus.
If it's too loud, Kreisgau might be too old.
It's this loud, yeah, because Neil Young can't hear anymore.
I was, you know, doing research for this, and one of the lines I found from a reviewer was, bottom line, this is an album not remotely suited to anybody unwilling to become a lead guitar fanatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were talking extensively about the quote-unquote nightmarish sound of and twisted result of him using or abusing Alesis reverb simulator and the that big red box. So
that red box is concealing the few effects pedals that he does have.
Yeah,
he's got like the guts of the pedals under this wooden red box, and he's got foot switches on top of it. Yep. So he can click away. Yep. He can click away, and only he knows. He's also got the switches to the wizard on there, so you know, you never know what he's doing. You can see the red box on the cover of this album. It's right front and center.
He also used to have Jawas come on stage.
I know. And Russ Never Sleeps.
Man.
So amazing.
Those giant fucking Gallagher like amplifiers in the background, love it. Too. It's so good.
Yeah.
I just love this guy.
Yeah. I've actually, since our last, you know, we've been doing the project for a while. I think I'm coming around to... on even some of the Neil Young albums that I like, Tonight's the Night, mm-hmm. which I was not a huge fan of. It was rough, but even that, I'm liking more and more.
Rough is Neil's awesome. middle name, Birchall. Yeah.
He did hint for this album at a deeper focus on family, the 80s, particularly caring for his sons, Ben and Zeke, both who were diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Led him to a shift in priorities that reduce his drive to make new music. He said, quote, I closed myself off so much that I was making it, doing great with surviving, but my soul was completely encased. He mused, I didn't even consider that I would need a soul to play my music. That when I shut the door on pain, I shut the door on my music. That's what I did, and that's how people get old.
Yeah.
Come on back, Neil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember a few years ago when Neil Young eloped with Daryl Hannah?
I do.
Yeah.
It was a weird.
That's pretty cool.
Time.
I like it. It definitely fits his MO. He does his personal stuff. He wants it to be him personally. Then if there's stuff that he doesn't need to have a big media buzz about, he won't. If he wants to marry Daryl Hannah, they'll do it quietly.
Maybe that's why I don't remember when they eloped.
Yeah, it was a brief news story. No. It's strange, you know, he pops up every now and again because he is who he is. If he wants to pull his music, he'll pull his music. If he wants to drive his vegetable car, you know, vegetable oil car across the country, he'll do it. You know, it's like he's just doing his own thing. I don't think he's changed that much, actually. Like the original... What would you say, loud garage psychedelic stomp of his 60s music is still resonant?
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this album proves, right? Is that he never went away.
Yeah.
He might have, you know, done a few different things, but it's still the Neil Young grunge one note solos that we've all come to love.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm on a positive. How about you, Birch?
Yeah, absolute positive.
Big positive for me. Listening to Mansion on the Hill right now, and I'm just sitting here listening to it.
Yeah, that guitar is just unimpeachable.
if like me, were you guys watching it, or were you guys listening to some of this album on YouTube this week?
No.
No, not on YouTube.
I was on like Neil Young's channel, and they had like all of the tracks compiled as like a full album, and there's music videos for a few of the songs. So every once in a while, normally it's just the cover of the album, every once in a while you get a music video, but there's a music video for Mansion on a Hill. The intro to it, it's like inside like an operating room at the hospital, and like the sheets pulled over a body, and the doctor's like, someone notify the family. And then Neil Young sits up and pulls the sheet down and goes, hell, I'll tell them myself. And then he gets up and walks out the door and goes, hey, kids. And it's weird. But apparently it's zombie Neil Young.
Okay.
Telling the kids himself, delivering the news to his kids himself that he's gone.
Did anyone check out Smell the Horse?
No. Is that the reissue of Ragged Glory?
Yeah, it's the reissue of Ragged Glory that has like four additional songs that they found. But yeah, it's, he called it Smell the Horse.
Yeah, I did read about that.
Neil being Neil makes me happy.
That's right. Makes me happy too. Great fall album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Came out in September.
Go drink some cider. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put on a flannel.
Yeah, put on a flannel.
This makes me want to wear all the flannels.
All right, next time we'll be talking about Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted. Thanks, y'all. Somewhere.